We're trying to figure that out.
Tim, how about you remind everyone to cancel their...
House Committee on Judiciary come to order today is April 21st, 2015. The first item on the... First of all, I want to announce that the following bills will not be heard, which means they're dead.
Thank you.
2315.
Oh.
2224. 2425. And 2647. Tomorrow's meeting has been canceled.
Yes.
The bills are rescheduled to Monday, and we will have a meeting on Thursday.
It's a lot of
nothing on Friday, of course.
Right. Nothing on Friday.
So we're not meeting tomorrow?
We're not meeting tomorrow.
You don't want us to?
Yeah. Yeah.
And first thing we're going to do is open a work session on House Bill 3498.
Yes, Chair Barker, members of the committee, House Bill 3498 is sponsored by Representative Esquivel. We had a public hearing on this bill on April 7th. We have no revenue impact and a minimal fiscal impact on this bill, which includes a small dash two amendment. So currently, any person in Oregon who acts as an outfitter or guide must first and annually register with the State Marine Board. Registration requires an affidavit from the applicant stating that they have not been convicted of certain crimes, consisting mostly of permitting or wildlife violations in the previous 24 months. The board currently has authority to take action, including suspension, revocation, or denial against outfitters and guides who have been committed of certain violations. House Bill 3498 additionally requires applicants to state by affidavit they have not been convicted in the previous 24 months of crimes involving the delivery, manufacture, possession of a controlled substance as defined by statute, assault in any degree, criminal homicide as defined by statute, or kidnapping. The bill also requires applicants to state by affidavit that they've never convicted of a crime prohibiting them from possessing a firearm or a crime requiring them to register as a sex offender. The proposed dash two amendment removes from the list of included items under controlled substances, it removes marijuana. The bill is ready to move.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I move the dash two amendments into House Bill 3498.
Representative Williamson moves the dash two amendments into House Bill 3498. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3498 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Representative Williamson moves House Bill 3498 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. We'll have Representative Esquivel carry the bill, please. Open a public hearing on House Bill 2316.
Chair Barker, members of the committee, House Bill 2316 is an interim committee bill. It was submitted as a placeholder. So the intention is never to have the underlying bills on these particular committee bills. This was waiting for particular amendments. And we have three proposed amendments to this measure today.
Which are we? 2316.
The second bill.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
Greenlee. So the proposed dash two amendments increase a variety of fees that are charged by Justice of the Peace Courts. For example, the first appearance of the parties will increase from $40 to $90, and fees for filing a small claim will increase from $28 to $35 in 2015 and from $35 to $37 in 2018. Other trial fees are increased to $100 per day payable by the plaintiff. The proposed dash four amendments establish a task force on court reporting. It has at least four members to review court reporting options and to report back to the legislature by April 30th, 2016. The dash five amendments deal with material witnesses. The dash five amendments create a process for taking a perpetuation deposition of a material witness. The petition for deposition must be granted or denied within 30 days of filing. The amendment specifies that the deposition of a material witness does not invalidate or otherwise affect the material witness order, but may be considered in connection with an application to vacate or modify an order. This is ready to go with the dash twos, the dash fives, and the dash fours, should you choose to. The dash two amendments will require this whole bill to go down to the Committee on Revenue.
Okay. All right.
Thank you. Matt Marquis, Patrick Singh.
Have we heard about any of these amendments before? This is a fee to just...
Dave Reinhart can come up too if you're ready.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Matt Marquis, representing the Oregon Collectors Association on the Dash 2 amendments and Negley Deposition and Trial on the Dash 4 amendments. First of all, Mr. Chair, I'd like to just thank you for allowing us the opportunity to sit down with the counties to negotiate out some fee increases on the justice courts. The original bill that was introduced had some pretty hefty increases. We were able to sit down, come up with a compromise that you see in the Dash 2s, and we are just happy to have been allowed the opportunity to take that time to discuss those. As to the Dash 4 amendments, every session, it seems like as long as I can remember, there has been several bills introduced around the issue of court reporting. Who is the best person to do court reporting? What type of person is the best person to do it? Whether it's a stenographer, a recorder, a voice writer, a variety of different things. There's been a lot of disagreement around those types of issues, and this amendment in the Dash 4 simply sets up a task force to study these issues, to have a third party look at the issues, make some recommendations back to the legislature, and so it's not people among the court reporting industry that are having the fight or making the recommendations, but having a third party make those recommendations. The idea is to look at things like what are the current practices out there or types of technology around court reporting, look at the different certifications that are available both on the national and state level, and then report back to the legislature in April of 2016 with plenty of time to look at legislation for the 2017 if there is something needed. It's drafted to have the Oregon Judicial Department staff the committee, and the reason that we looked at that is, frankly, they have some of the court reporting certificate program within their division now, or within their agency, excuse me. And we just thought that would be a good third-party person to the Chief Justice to do some of the appointing of the task force. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Thank you.
Dave Reinhardt here representing Linn County and Deschutes County. First, I just want to thank the chair for his indulgence on the Dash 2s and thank Matt and the collectors for working with us to come to some agreement. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Patrick Singh. I'm with the Association of Oregon Counties. As Mr. Marquis stated, we had a bill, House Bill 2355, that we introduced during the interim with the Justices of the Peace Association to raise certain fees that are filed at the justice court level. You all are aware what justice courts do. In addition to dealing with traffic tickets, they deal with a lot of these court filing issues, like small claims issues. They provide a necessary option for local constituents instead of the circuit court, where the fees are much higher, and a lot of that work kind of gets bogged down by just the amount of work that they have to do. So we worked with Mr. Marquis, Mr. Reinhardt, and folks at the Public Affairs Council to and our judges to come up with this compromise, which thank all the parties involved in. So AOC supports the Dash 2s and hope that you will move them into the bill as we move forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions?
Thank you, panel, for coming up and talking, I believe, about the Dash 2s and Dash 4s and the compromise. Great work. I seem to recall there was a Dash 5 that seemed to suggest perhaps the biggest change to our material witness statute in a generation. Is anyone going to talk about that?
It's coming.
Great. I gather it's coming up.
I'm sorry.
The Dash 5s, right, on this bill?
Yeah.
It's coming.
Oh, great.
You can talk about that.
Hey, thank you.
Thanks.
Dave, back with me.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is David Factor. I'm a staff counsel at the Oregon Judicial Department. We're here today to testify in opposition to the Dash 4 amendments to House Bill 2316, which would have the Chief Justice appoint and the Judicial Department staff a task force to review and evaluate court reporting systems and the program to certify court reporters. OJD sees no need for this task force. The objectives for this expense are not clear. The Chief Justice and the State Court Administrator currently have the statutory responsibility for these areas of court recording and have exercised that authority. statewide OJD Enterprise Solutions already exists. We have recording equipment in every courthouse and courtroom in the state. We're also aware of national and other state studies and current practices in other jurisdictions and take advantage of those resources when we need to. The task force would expend significant resources without contributing significantly to the body of knowledge in this area. These amendments appear primarily as a mechanism to address the conflict between the private entities that provide various types of reporting services in the legal profession, but not in courtrooms. The courts have no interest in injecting themselves into that conflict. We use digital audio recording equipment in all of our courtrooms. One courthouse uses video recording. These are operated by our own court staff. We do not have a single stenographic court reporter, voice writer, or any other kind of court reporter on our staff. The statute already permits parties with reasonable notice to the court to hire their own certified court reporter for in-court proceedings and have that record become the official court record. This provision is rarely, if ever, used. In fact, I'm not familiar with a single instance where it has been. To us, this indicates that the current court program for recording court proceedings works just fine. I'm available for any questions.
Any questions?
Jennifer, is this the person who's supposed to talk about Dash 5s? Okay.
So
he's just anxious about the Dash 5s.
I don't have anybody here to talk about Dash 5s.
That's why I'm anxious.
Jenny, can you explain the Dash 5s?
Certainly, Chair Barker, members of the committee. The proposed Dash 5 creates a method for a court to determine whether a material witness can be held for an extended length of time. And this was an issue in Washington County. A particular material witness was held for 905 days, I believe. And they're held under a particular set of rules in the ORSs. What we were asked to do is look for a way to provide an avenue for these material witnesses to shorten their stay, as it were. So we based this upon the ORCP Rule 37 process for deposition of a perpetuation testimony. So this is when a person is going to become unavailable. Potentially they die or they're going to be otherwise unavailable to give testimony in a court. So we use that as a basis. It lists what is required. The amendment lists what is required in order for this petition to go before the court, requires the court to respond to it within 30 days of filing. And at the end of the amendment, it says that a court is not required to release someone just because they've given this deposition, but it can be a factor when they review a material witness order. It does not increase the amount that a material witness is given in compensation for being held, and it does not place a cap on the length of time that they're held.
Yes. Can I ask a follow-up question to any of the counsel, perhaps criminal counsel? Does perpetuation depositions are something that we use very often. It's not a big deal. It's basically you videotape a person's testimony, and there's live cross-examination, everything else, and play it. That's when a witness, for whatever reason, can't be available in a courtroom. I just assume that there's something like that available in the criminal sector. Is there?
Representative, there is not, and that was the issue. And
the judge in that case contacted me
after that and said.
But perpetuation, it's very different than a normal deposition.
No, I know, yeah. But.
But he wanted to be able to take a deposition, preferably in the courtroom where it would be heard with modern recording equipment. And in the case that was talked about, they felt if that person was allowed out, he would flee to Mexico, right, and would not be available, and he'd already given statements. They did offer that to another member or party of that trial who did make the amendment. Yes, briefly. But it's to allow the courts to, which they didn't have that in the criminal side, to allow them to have the opportunity to get a deposition recorded to show a jury's deposition.
I'm surprised they don't have that intrinsic authority.
Thank you. Chair Barker, Representative Martin, there is an allowance for a perpetuation.
Who are you?
Oh, Gail Meyer, on behalf of the Oregon Criminal Defense Lawyers Association. My apologies. There is a very small provision for perpetuation deposition in the event that a witness will be unavailable if a trial date is continued. So that's an ORS 136.080. It's not spelled out very clearly. It's rarely used. But if a witness is going to go away overseas and somebody needs to continue a trial date, then there is allowance currently right now for perpetuation deposition. We like the dash five. I'll just put that up.
Thank you.
And there would be cross-examination allowed in that.
Deposition.
Thank you, Gail.
We don't have a judge here that, or somebody from...
No. I worked with the judge. We were right at the deadline. I had to frantically get this thing...
Mr. Chair,
yes.
This is important, and my understanding is we're perhaps going to hold a hearing later on the Washington County case, perhaps later on to learn more about that. I don't want to hold this up. I'm happy to go along with it, but making procedure like this at the last minute is something that we should all be cautious of, and I let us hope that our colleagues in the Senate take a very close look at this and get the thorough vetting it does. Thank you, Mr. Chair, for indulging.
Thank you. Okay, open a work session on House Bill 2316.
Mr. Chair, I move the dash two amendments into House Bill 2316.
Representative Williamson moves the dash two amendments into House Bill 2316. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections?
You know, Mr. Chair,
yes.
I'm really sorry to be such a high maintenance guy already. Perhaps I'm the only one who seems disturbed by this bill and these various amendments happening this quickly that we haven't heard. I'm crazy, I know. So my understanding is the dash twos and dash fours kind of go together as one effect. Is that correct?
They're separate.
They are separate. Yeah. And we can dash twos and not, they, okay.
Dash yes. Twos.
Gotcha.
Not,
yeah. Thank you.
No one in the fours.
Okay. Any further discussion? Is there any objections to the dash two amendments? Hearing none, they're ordered in.
Mr. Chair, I move the dash fives into House Bill 2316.
Representative Williamson moves the dash five amendments into House Bill 2316. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections?
I have a discussion.
Okay.
and I have an objection, okay. Just very briefly.
Right.
I'm not clear enough to know what this amendment does to support it. It may be a perfectly good amendment, but certainly I need a little more information to have a comfort level.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, are you planning on holding an informational hearing on the Washington County case?
If we have time, we probably would ask someone to come out.
Because this goes to revenue from here, so it will still be in the process.
Okay.
So I think that might make
folks. It goes to revenue, doesn't it?
It goes to revenue because of
but
the
But it'll still go to Senate Judiciary, right?
No.
Yeah.
Revenue is not a joint.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Okay.
Please, that's supposed to be what it means.
Are there any objections other than 1-5s? Please note that Representative Springer is a no on the dash 5s.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2316 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and to the Committee on Revenue.
Representative Williamson moves House Bill 2316 as amended with the dash two and the dash fives to the floor with a due pass reference to revenue.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any discussion?
Just briefly, I hope that the Senate does scrutinize this a little bit
careful.
More, has time, and that staff sure that they do, or forewarn them that there was conversations regarding the amendments.
Thank you.
Well, if it ends up going to Ways and Means after it goes to Revenue, it won't go to Senate Judiciary.
No, they can still tell them down below.
We expect it to go.
What was that, Mr. Chair?
I said I expect it to go to the Senate
side Judiciary.
After out of there. It may not, but that's what I expect. So.
Gotcha.
Okay. So we have a motion to move the bill. Call the roll, please.
Representative Barton?
Aye.
Representative
Greenwood?
Aye.
Representative Krieger?
Aye.
Representative Leininger?
Aye.
Representative
Springer?
No.
Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Williamson?
Aye.
Chair Barker?
Aye. Motion carries. Bill
goes to revenue. That's
all right. Okay.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
You know, before you gavel this one, you know, I don't mean to blow this up. I'm really sorry. It's the last day. I want to get out of here at 5 o'clock just as much as anyone else. Dash 2 is a task force on fees, correct? And I have a concern that task force have a way of going to Ways and Means and bypasses Judiciary.
Them.
we're combining things because this is
Ways and Means kills task force usually.
But this is I'd ask staff to just follow this one very carefully. And it goes to Ways and Means. We just got a problem that we just did on the fly, material witness change. With no witnesses testifying, then it might bypass Senate Judiciary because it's joined with an unrelated task force. Just saying.
Chair Barker, Rep. Barton, the Dash Force created the task force. We did not adopt this.
Good. Oh, thank you.
Welcome.
Well, let's go to Ways and Means then. There's no
Green Lake, I do not have a referral to Ways and Means on this.
There's no task force in it. Okay, I'm sorry.
It doesn't go to Ways and Means right now. It's a guarantee.
Not today.
Okay, rock and roll time here.
No. Got your back, Mr. Chair.
Open a work session on House Bill 2210.
Chair Barker, members of the committee, House Bill 2310 comes to us from the House Interim Committee on Judiciary. It provides that the Department of Corrections must consider lesser or greater included offense of a crime for which a sentence is imposed and any other crime in the same county designated as part of the same criminal episode when computing a sentence. The bill states that an incarcerated person shall receive credit for time served in jail after an arrest and before the commencement of a probationary sentence when probation is ordered as part of a downward dispositional departure, conditional discharge, and presumptive sentence, or as part of a diversion program or specialty court program. The bill provides that unless the court expressly orders otherwise, a person may not receive pre-sentence incarceration credit for time served in jail if the crime is not directly related to the crime for which the current sentence is being imposed, or for a violation of conditions of probation, parole, or post-prison supervision for a crime not directly related to the crime for which the current sentence is being imposed. It applies to sentencing proceedings occurring on or after the effective date of the Act, declares an emergency, and is effective on passage. We are considering the proposed Dash 1 amendments today, which require that the prosecuting attorney and defendant consent prior to giving the defendant credit on an unrelated crime. They eliminate conditional discharge language and allow the sentencing judge to limit credit for time served given to inmates sentenced on a downward dispositional departure to 90 days. There is no revenue impact, and there's actually a cost savings on this bill, but it does not require a subsequent referral, and it's ready to be moved.
Okay, thank you. And colleagues, this is the bill. Yesterday we had the late Dash 1 amendments. I've talked to the Gail Meyer from OCDLA, and I told her what I would like to do is move the bill. She will work on it additionally in the Senate and with my complete approval to try to get there's some little fixes in there, but I would not like to have this bill die if it's the committee's pleasure. That would be my desire.
Right. Whatever you want, boss.
Okay, Dash 1.
Mr. Chair, I move the Dash 1 amendments into House Bill 2310.
Representative Williams moves the Dash 1 amendments into House Bill 2310. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2310 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Representative Williams moves House Bill 2310 to the floor with the due pass recommendation as amended. Are there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. I'll carry that bill so I could give the explanation. Open a work session on House Bill 2313.
Chair Barker, I am in communication with Legislative Fiscal. We're close, but we're not quite there with the paperwork. So if we want to revisit that at the end of the agenda.
Okay, so suspend the hearing on House Bill 2313. Open a work session on House Bill 2356.
Chair Barker, members of the committee, this bill comes from the Interim Committee on Judiciary. We had a public hearing on this bill on February 18th. The bill increases the penalties for violation of our invasion of privacy statute. Currently, invasion of privacy is a Class A misdemeanor. The Dash 7 amendments are before the committee. What the Dash 7 amendments do is create 2 degrees of invasion of privacy. First, you have invasion of privacy in the second degree, which would remain a Class A misdemeanor. It would apply to 2 scenarios. First, when someone non-consensually views another person in a state of nudity, when that person is in a location where they have an expectation of privacy, that would remain a misdemeanor. And then the second piece is the conduct prohibited by House Bill 2596 that this committee dealt with earlier in the session, the upskirting provision that would remain a Class A misdemeanor. invasion of privacy in the first degree would be a Class C felony. It would be a level 6 on Oregon sentencing guidelines. It would carry discretionary sex offender registration, and it would apply in two scenarios. First, when someone non-consensually records another person, when that person is nude and in a place where they have an expectation of privacy. And the second application would be if someone's a repeat offender, if they violate any provision of the statute, and at the time of the violation, they have a previous conviction for public indecency, private indecency, or a sex crime. There is no revenue impact on the Dash 7 amendment. There was a fiscal statement issued, but it does not need to go to Ways and Means.
Okay, thank you.
What did the fiscal say?
This is part of the new way that they are projecting bills that could affect DOC population. So if I could just pull it up for a second. It projects the cost to the Department of Corrections. Roughly for the next biennium to cost about $16,000, and then in the biennium from 2017 to 2019 to be about $72,409. My understanding is, and I know this came up in some other hearings, that anything that could have an impact on DOC population, they're producing these fiscal impact statements, but based on these numbers, it was a minimal amount, and they did not want it to be referred to Ways and Means.
Mr. Chair, I'm going to object to this. I'm worried about continuing to add to the DOC population without. I'll vote no on the bill here, but will likely vote yes on the bill on the floor.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I know at one point we had asked if Mr. Rocco could come in and talk about the new calculation of the fiscals.
That'd be great.
And we haven't had that happen yet, and I think it would be really helpful because I think these forecast fiscals are confusing.
Okay, we'll see
best.
If we can get them in as
yeah,
soon as possible.
Be great.
Thank you.
So. All right. Mr. Chair, I move the Dash 7s into House Bill 2356.
Representative Williams moves the Dash 7s into House Bill 2356. Are there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2356 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Representative Williamson moves House Bill 2356 to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Call the roll, please.
Representative Barton?
Aye.
Representative Greenwood?
No.
Representative Krieger?
Aye.
Representative Leininger?
Aye.
Representative Post?
Aye.
Representative Springer?
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. I'll ask Representative Olson to be our carrier, please. We're going to skip over 2571. We have to wait until 4 o'clock to have that one.
You want to carry? You want to carry?
And open a work session on House Bill 3040.
Chair Barker and members of the committee, House Bill 3040 comes to us from Representatives Huffman and Taylor, and we first heard this bill on April 15th of this year. The bill as introduced amends the hearsay statute to state that certain hearsay statements related to certain sex crimes are admissible even if the declarant is available as a witness. We're considering the proposed Dash 2 amendments which replace the measure. They direct the Oregon Law Commission to conduct a study and make recommendations for changes to law relating to hearsay and criminal actions involving sex trafficking. The amendments direct the commission to make recommendations to the interim committee of the Legislative Assembly related to judiciary no later than December 31 of 2015. There is a minimal fiscal impact and no revenue impact, and we are ready to move.
Mr. Chair, I move the Dash 2 amendments into House Bill 3040.
Representative Williamson moves the Dash 2 amendments into House Bill 3040. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3040 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Representative Williamson moves House Bill 3040 to the floor with the due pass recommendation as amended. Are there any? Is there any discussion? Are there any objections?
That could go to the consent agenda.
Well, I'm just kind of wondering if maybe Representative Taylor and Huffman might want to have a shot at it.
Hearing no objections, the bill passes, and Representative Huffman and Taylor will be the carriers. Open a work session on House Bill 3388.
Yes, Chair Barker, members of the committee, House Bill 3388 is sponsored by Representative Evans. We have no revenue impact, and we do have a fiscal statement issued on this bill. I do have a letter prepared if the committee chooses to move it to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. We had a public hearing on this bill on April 16th. We have no amendments before us today. So House Bill 3388 allows reserve officers to be sponsored by law enforcement units in order to receive training as a police officer. The bill allows reserve officers sponsored by law enforcement units to pay cash or any other or use any other GI Bill education benefits to pay for their training courses. And it outlines the requirements of implementing this type of program.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3388 to the floor with a due pass recommendation and then to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Representative Williams moves House Bill 3388 to the floor with a due pass recommendation and on to Ways and Means. Any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. Open a public hearing. Open a work session on House Bill 3437.
Now, Chair Barker, members of the committee, House Bill 3437 is a committee bill. We had a public hearing on this bill on April 9th. This is the Certificate of Good Standing bill. It authorizes certificates for offenders who have been convicted of Class A misdemeanors or felony offenses and establishes a process to obtain these certificates. The Dash 1 amendment is before the committee today. There's no revenue impact and a minimal fiscal impact. What the Dash 1 amendment does is eliminates the court hearing requirement that's described in subsection 7 of the original bill. It clarifies that the judge will perform a ministerial examination of the written materials rather than conduct an adversarial hearing if there's a dispute regarding whether someone's eligible for a certificate. It requires the revocation of the certificate if the offender is convicted of a Class A or B misdemeanor or any felony, and it reduces the penalty for those who knowingly present a revoked or invalid certificate to a Class A violation.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Counsel, forgive me, because I have not reviewed the Dash 1. Yep. Does it retain the portion about, a very clever portion, I would add, about reentry courts? Yep. And Board of County Commissioners if the county doesn't have a reentry court?
Chair Barker and Representative Barton, it does. And I could, you know, the way the bill works is the Department of Corrections will create the forms. If someone, an offender, is eligible, they get the form, fill it out, and then they would take it to either a reentry court or, if there is no reentry court, the county commissioners.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
What's a ministerial hearing?
Great question, Representative.
Chair Barker and Representative Greenlich, the idea was with the Dash 1 amendment that we did not want to clog the courts with hearings using court time regarding whether someone is actually eligible for one of these certificates. And the idea was to make it as objective as possible. Either someone's eligible based on objective, verifiable facts, or they're not eligible. And so a judge would review these forms, presumably, when they're not in court having hearings. But there wouldn't be a contested hearing on the record where people are litigating whether they were eligible for the form. The district attorney could object if they could establish that the person did not meet the objective criteria, but there would be no hearing, no open court hearing.
But the judge would file findings, huh?
Yes, that is correct.
Thank you.
So it's a hearing, but not a hearing.
It's judicial fact-finding off the bench.
Wow. Instead of a long contested hearing, which would end up in more lawsuits down the road and so on.
And there's no fiscal.
Don't look at the French justice system.
Mr. Chair, is it your intention to move this bill today?
Yes.
Okay. In that case, I'm going to have to. May I opine? sorry, Mr. Chair. I'm just sorry to.
Had a bad day, aren't you?
You know, I guess so. This is why I don't have any friends.
That's okay. We can't move till after 4 o'clock.
So oh, great. Well, I'll filibuster then. So, Mr. And I hate to say this because former Chief Justice DeMunis is a person I've looked up to in my entire life. This is a good idea. This bill is far from ready from prime time and really needs a lot more work. Let me give a couple examples just off the top of my head. Number one, a ministerial hearing. Why is this, if this is in fact a ministerial action, why is it the court's prerogative? Why isn't it done by, for example, the probation officer, parole officer, DOC, a county agency? Why not somebody else? Why is this the court's response? So that's question number one. Question number two is that occurs to me, reentry courts. Now, reentry courts sound like a very good idea. I'm very excited about reentry courts, but there's no data to support that yet. The CJC hasn't yet really weighed in on it. It takes a long time to actually get good data. For example, Hope Court in Clackamas County, Drug Court in Multnomah County. We've had hearings on this. We haven't done that with reentry courts, and essentially this bill will inject it to the rest of counties. And alternative, if a county, for example, a small county, doesn't have a reentry court, maybe the population isn't big enough, then it creates a burden on the Board of County Commissioners of that county, which actually is kind of funny. but these are all things that I just think we should talk about and see if this is actually, this policy is ready for prime time. Underneath this all, I think this is a good idea. Just not quite ready to go yet, Mr. Chair, in my opinion. Accordingly, I'll be a no, but maybe I'll be the only one.
Okay, and we did have a hearing on it earlier.
Yeah.
So we're.
And just Chair Barker. Just to clarify, Chair, I mean, there are other areas in the law, in the criminal law, where judges engage in this sort of fact-finding without a hearing. Expungements are an example where someone would submit a form, and then if there was an objection, then but.
And my kind of thoughts on it were the reason we have the judge do it is they're at least impartial or should be, where if you're the person trying to get one and the district attorney says, no, I'm not going to give it to you without any judicial overview, you're going to feel like you're being wronged, I think. So that was the purpose behind this, to give somebody essentially a piece of paper that allows them to show a potential employer they've been complying with everything and they're ready to go. So any further discussion?
Mr. Chair, I move the Dash 1 amendments into House Bill 3437.
Representative Williamson moves the Dash 1 amendments to House Bill 3437. Representative Barton, would you like to
object? I object.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any other objections? So ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3437 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Williamson moves House Bill 3437 to the floor with a due pass recommendation as amended. Call the roll, please.
I know.
Yes.
Yes.
Aye.
Aye.
Representative Springer?
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Williamson?
Aye.
Chair Barker?
Aye. Motion carries. Representative Leininger, would you carry that for us, please?
Sure. Thank you.
Yes,
thank you. Sir.
He's ready.
We can talk about the county commission's role.
Open the work session on 2313.
There is a county commission.
Chair Barker, members of the committee, House Bill 2313 was an interim committee bill. It was a placeholder bill. We had a public hearing on the bill yesterday. There was one amendment before the committee, the Dash 1 amendment, and it creates a MIP-like offense for youth marijuana violation. What this bill does is prohibits those who are under the age of 21 from attempting to purchase or acquire marijuana items. It would include a prohibition on the consumption of marijuana for those under the age of 21. It prohibits youth from entering premises where marijuana items are available. The offense is a Class B violation. It is elevated to a Class A violation if the offender possesses marijuana items while operating a motor vehicle. The Dash 1 amendment authorized penalties of community service and a driver's license suspension for offenders who misrepresent their age in order to obtain marijuana items. It authorizes the court to order an offender to do drug treatment And it exempts agents of OLCC and employees of licensed marijuana dispensaries from penalties. It declares emergency effective upon passage. There's no revenue impact and a minimal fiscal impact.
One issue that came up yesterday is what about the
medical?
Well, the underage person who has medical marijuana permit, I would assume that that would be treated as medicine and not be prohibited.
Well, this specific amendment doesn't address that situation, and I think.
Yes, Representative Langer.
Are you finished? Thank you, Chair Barker. So I raised that concern yesterday, and then I subsequently spoke with some other people from the Measure 91 committee, and I also spoke with a representative, an advocate for this bill, and I feel comfortable that this language may not interfere with someone's ability under a separate provision of law to use medical marijuana, even if they're a minor. And to the extent it may present concerns, Senate Judiciary is prepared to look at that and address it. And we've gotten some assurance from one of the advocates for the legislation that they are interested in making sure that's not a prohibited that's not prohibited based on this language. So I'm comfortable voting yes now with the understanding that the issue may be addressed to the extent necessary in the other chamber.
Okay, so, you know, Mr. Chair, you remember 4 years ago we had a work group and Representative Krieger was involved too, and yeah. Speaker Kotek. The four of us were looking at where to go with this, dealing with the OMMP program. And one of the areas that we noticed that there was about 49 individual clients that were under 21. That were on OMMP. There was one that was as low as age 7. And, you know, just as I reflect back on that, I don't see where this is going to interfere with that, and I agree with what you're saying about it being, you know, considered as medicine.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Krieger.
I have staff try to find out how many we have now, because I don't want it to be like the adults. Everybody and their brother's got a medical marijuana card to circumvent the law and be under the influence in our classrooms and our schools.
That's a pretty point. Restricted program mm-hmm. for the juveniles, much more so than the adults. Any further discussion?
21 is the Measure 91 leash, is that
correct? Yeah, this is just like alcohol. I mean, Essentially it's the same as alcohol. Okay. That's one.
Be good to have. Does this have a fiscal?
Minimal. Representing a minimal fiscal impact from the Legislative Fiscal Office.
All right. Mr. Chair, I move that dash ones into House Bill 2313.
Representative Williamson moves the dash ones into House Bill 2313. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2313 as amended to the floor for pass recommendation.
Representative Williamson moves House Bill 2313 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. Representative Olson,
I do.
Carry the bill. And on House Bill 2356, Representative Post will be the carrier. Okay. We're going to have to, the committee will have to stand at ease. We are up ahead of a posting time issue. We will reconvene at 4:05. Stand at ease. Committee's back in session. We have House Bill 25, open a work session, House Bill 2571.
Yes, Chair Barker, members of the committee, House Bill 2571 is sponsored by Representative Williamson with Senator Burdick. We have no revenue impact and indeterminate fiscal impact on this bill. We had a public hearing on March 24th, at which point we had a lengthy conversation talking about the nature of the bill and all the work that's gone into it. A lot more work has happened on the bill since then. So we have before us today proposed Dash 5 and Dash 6 amendments, which we'll talk about shortly. House Bill 2571 requires law enforcement agencies to establish policies and procedures for retaining recordings from cameras worn upon a police officer's person to record the officer's interactions with members of the public. House Bill 2571 provides exemptions for required disclosure under public records law, and it additionally creates exceptions to the exemption. House Bill 2571 does declare an emergency and is effective on passage. Now, moving to the amendments, and we do have legislative counsel here to address questions, which I know there will be some. The first thing I want to say, the Dash 5 and Dash 6 amendments are exactly the same, except for one point. The Dash 6 amendments additionally require that if recordings are disclosed by public records law, that everybody's faces be blurred. Prior to this amendment, the police officers' faces did not have to be blurred. The goal was to get some parity there. Additionally, the Dash 5 and Dash 6 amendments address digital discovery. They address ORS 41.910, which acts to suppress evidence in court. The amendment emphasizes that body-worn video cameras would not be subject to suppression in most instances. It makes it clear that public records exemptions fall under 501 instead of 502. It has the public records exemption unless the public interest requires disclosure in a particular instance and outlines requirements. And it, again, when recording is subject to potential disclosure, there are additional requirements. Again, in addition to that that's listed in Dash 5, the Dash 6 also requires all faces be blurred. The bill is ready to move with the Dash 5 or Dash 6.
Representative Springer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Sorry about that. Am I missing the Dash 6s on OLIS? I don't see them there.
No,
we have a hard copy.
I'm looking at them, and they were posted at 3:04, which was the reason we were waiting. Is there a problem?
I need to just refresh here.
And I don't know if this is for you or Jessica, the blurring of the faces, as I understand it, that is a requirement under another statute.
Jessica Minifee from Legislative Council, Chair Barker, Representative Williamson. It's my understanding, and I would have to go back and look for the statute, but a public agency cannot release the photograph of a public employee without permission, so I think the idea was just to blur everybody's faces to make it unrecognizable.
Right. Any further questions?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So one of the concerns I had in the first bill with the Dash 1s, and I realize we're not adopting the Dash 1s, but for staff, I just want to be clear. With the Dash 1s engrossed into the bill, in Section 1, it talked about law enforcement agencies shall have a policy. And then it went down on with the amendment in Dash 1, it said if there's a policy or when there's a policy, it must include the cameras being on. It talked about when. And I got an LC opinion. That was a little confusing, but just correct me here if I'm wrong. Certainly as I read the Dash 6s, and I don't know who I'm looking at here, as I read the Dash 6s, that seems to be very clear. Is that a safe assumption?
Sorry. Chair Barker, Representative Springer, I didn't know if that was directed towards me. I'm sorry.
Anybody that will answer, that'd be great.
The Dash 1s, as you know, did talk about a requirement that the policies and procedures shall require that the camera shall record. And I actually did make a small change to the Dash 3s on. And that you can see that in the Dash 6s in line 11. It just says a requirement that a camera worn upon a law enforcement officer's person. And so that was just designed to eliminate any confusion that potentially these amendments would be requiring a law enforcement agency to use body cameras, which it's my understanding that that's not the intent.
to hopefully provide additional clarification. Yes, Chair Barker, Representative Springer. So that March 26th amendment from Legislative Council said exactly that, that this was a permissive statute. It was not required, but that they did suggest some particular language to make it extra clear, and then the subsequent changes happened to hopefully not cloud the water, muddy the water, any mixing my metaphors.
Any further discussion?
Chair Barker?
Yes.
I should note that Representative Williamson's staff did a lot of work on this bill. And Madeline, you won't say this yourself, but Madeline did actually as good a policy job as I've ever seen a legislative assistant do in this building, working with various parties to craft what we have today. And I should assume she's watching. Thank you, Madeline.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, Mr. Chair, I move the Dash 6 amendments into House Bill 2571.
Representative Rims moves the Dash 6 amendments into House Bill 2571. Is there any discussion? Call the roll, please.
That was Dash
For the Dash 6.
Okay. Okay.
The amendment.
Moving the amendment, Dash 6, but I'll take a vote.
Aye.
Yes.
Representative Greenwood?
Aye.
Representative Krieger?
Aye.
Representative
Leininger? Aye. Representative Post? Aye.
Representative Springer?
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Williamson?
Aye.
Chair Barker?
Motion carries.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2571 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Williamson moves House Bill 2571 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion. Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I really do appreciate all the hard work that everybody has. I mean, that we've looked at this thing especially for law enforcement when it comes to cameras. I'm glad that it's permissive right now with that structure. I think that was a good move to go that direction. There was hard work, and there's some good work here. But there's a piece I want to share with you, too, as well. And I just want to share this from editorial piece. Since one of the primary aims of equipping police officers with body cameras is to increase public confidence in law enforcement agencies, I think this is actually almost going the wrong way, because it really makes it a lot more difficult for those in a position of the newspaper, the media, to be able to really know what's going on out here right now.
Okay, I would just suggest they have nothing now. And those would be available if they are in the public interest enough that the court could release them. So, Representative Post.
Thank you, Chair Barker. I have thought a lot about this bill and all the work that Representative Williamson and her staff and others have done on it. I just believe that police officers have way too much to think about, to do. And I can't imagine being one of them. I've never been a cop. I've never been a lawyer. I've watched a lot of Law and Order, so I guess that's about as close as I get. But I can't imagine being the responsibilities they have that anybody would even want to do that job anymore. And I just, in my mind, I'm adding something more to their load. And for that and for many other reasons that I won't go into now, I'm going to be a no on this.
Okay, thank you, Representative. Representative Krieger.
As I recall, the police chiefs weren't opposed.
That's correct.
And there was discussion that the body cameras would depict what really took place in instances and show the right doing or the wrongdoing of the officer, which is the thing that's been coming up with the last four or five shootings. I think there's been two more since we had the first hearing. It's, you know, I would not object to wearing one so people would see what I do, how I conduct myself. I just cannot understand why we do not want to do that as police officers. And I didn't hear anything from the police or the sheriffs or state police or anybody saying that this was in some way going to interfere with the way they had to do their business or slow them down or anything else. So I'm going to support the bill.
Hey, thank you. And I would say I talked to the larger group, Portland Police Association, and the officers want the cameras there. They're asking for them. They had privacy concerns that we all did. But
right.
Representative Greenlee?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to comment. I've been impressed by what I hope is the true fact, as opposed to a semi-true fact, that the wearing of body cameras reduces violence on both sides of the camera. I think the extent to which that's true is very important for the police officers not to have to face undue violence, and it's certainly helpful to prevent undue violence on the part of innocent people. The only worry I have is the ambiguity about when the camera ought to be turned on. It would seem to me that I would have an opt-out rather than an opt-in. I would have the cameras on all the time, except when it makes sense not to have them. But I think that will be possible under this, if that's the way it's decided. So it's just a comment, and I, too, am glad to have this moving forward.
Thank you. Representative Williamson.
Just to address that, Representative Greenlick, this is a floor, not a ceiling, for local policy. And so any community, any agency with their community can have a more thorough discussion about when to turn cameras on and off that's appropriate for their agencies, their budgets, their police force. I mean, I will remind the committee that this, as was mentioned, is permissive, and that it's about local jurisdictions choosing whether or not they want to use cameras, because I will remind you all, we had several mandate bills, and this was, everyone came to the table and agreed not to mandate body cameras, but to work with all the stakeholders to create a framework that, at least I know my police bureau was asking for help from us to give some guidance around how we should be thinking about local policies, best practices, and sharing what we're learning across agencies. And so my hope is that local communities engage in the policy making. I know it's happening in Portland, and the Portland Police Bureau is doing an extraordinary amount of citizen outreach and community outreach to create a policy that will be unique to Portland. And I don't think there's any other community in this state that should adopt necessarily the policy that Portland has, but I feel like we've done the work to make sure that there's enough room for agencies to build something that's unique to that community, while having initially to make the choice of whether or not it's valuable for that agency to have cameras in the first place. So this does not presume that anyone will have them, but if they do, they need to have a policy that meets what is a floor, not a ceiling, in this bill.
Okay, thank you. And I'd like to thank Representative Williamson for all her hard work. I know her staff did a lot, but she's done a lot of work and reached out to be sure everything was covered. I really appreciate her efforts on that.
Kit, right here.
Okay, Representative Springer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess I'm going to pile on and say thank you also. I was not a fan of this bill when it first came out and had some concerns, and I expressed one of those earlier, that it felt like a mandate even when it wasn't intended to be. I think the bill has landed in a good spot. I have one police agency that does use cameras, and I have some others that don't use them or don't use them yet and not sure where to go. One of them told me, we're waiting to hear what you guys do. You know, so we have some direction. I think that this has ended up in a good spot. My concern has never been, and I don't think I've framed it that way, but my concern has never been that secrets get to be kept. My concern has been the distraction that's created by one more thing to do. And I got to tell you, cops, when they're doing their job, they know that. Good cop knows the policy manual. When I started out, I said, how do I be a good cop? And he handed me two binders and said, know this, cover to cover, and you will be a good cop. And so I just embedded myself in that. And they're about the policies, and they're about the training. And it's a shame to be out work thinking about the policy when you clearly could have a different kind of an incident in front of you. This affords that latitude that gives me a level of comfort, and I appreciate that.
Thank you. And I just would say I've seen a lot of instances where people have a disagreement or a different opinion of what just occurred, and some of them are legitimate slight differences from what their perspective. There are some huge differences that are lies, and that's hopefully what these cameras will do. One thing that I think is not good that is going to happen about this, it's the same thing as when a reporter walks up to you and takes out the pad and starts talking, you go on guard a bit. And this will happen with the police, with the community policing, where you try to have some really close relationships with people. That will be deterred somewhat by these. People have told me things that I'm sure they would not say with a camera running, right, and family matters and so on. So, but we've all seen the national news and so on. And the police are asking for them for their protection. Citizens want them for their protection. And I'm hoping we'll move this along today.
And Mr. Chair, just to put two more thoughts on the record, the reason we used the triggering language we used was to ensure that cameras did not have to be on with welfare checks or mere conversation. And so that's why we have the language we have, is because we don't want to chill those kinds of interactions for police in the community. And the second thing I wanted to put on the record was the concern about balancing the privacy of those who appear on the camera and the police officers themselves as to the media. And so the balance we've come to in this bill is that we're going to let judges decide what gets released and when, because we don't, it was too difficult to figure out what's in and what's out. Until it's situational and figuring out what's in the public interest to be released, because one of the reasons for this policy and this policy at this time was to give law enforcement a policy to follow around releasing what is a public record unless we say it's not. And so there's no protection right now for the ODF and W state police who wear body cameras now. They're making public record. And so we need to do something now so that local agencies understand what they can and can't do and what protections they have around releasing footage.
Thank you.
Is that going to be a ministerial hearing?
You never know.
Okay.
We need to vote on it, huh?
Yeah.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2571 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Williamson moves House Bill 2571 to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Already adopted the dash six.
Call the roll, please.
Representative Barton?
We already adopted the dash six.
We did.
Yeah.
Yes.
Representative Greenwood?
Yes.
Representative Krieger?
Yep.
Representative Leininger?
Aye.
Representative Post?
No.
Representative Springer?
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson?
No.
Vice Chair Williamson?
Aye.
Chair Barker?
Aye. Motion carries. Representative Williamson, you carried the bill for us.
Oh, I want to carry it.
Mitch can be my co-carrier.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'll be your co-carrier. Any further business, committee? Great job the first half of session. Thank you very much for all your hard work, especially these last couple of first half. Glorious days. We are adjourned. These last couple of first half. Glorious days. We are adjourned.